welcome to episode 39 of Checkpoint Chat. We're nearing 40. It's scary.
The midlife crisis years.
That's Matthew Figuera.
That's me.
He's not in trouble this time, though. I just like saying his name fully.
What? Oh. I was like, what? What are you talking about? Well, imagine when we reach 100. We have to retire the podcast and start from scratch.
Man, 100 is a big number.
That's next year's problem. Yeah. Let's not even think about it.
Will we even reach it next year? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess... Yeah.
Maths,
yeah. Maths is a hard topic. Yeah.
But you're an engineer, basically.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean much. I mean,
you do maths. You do some calculations.
No, I pretend to know maths, and then I'm really good at looking up solutions that help my problem.
This exact thing came up at work the other day because, you know, I'm a copywriter, studied English. But someone asked me something, and I basically told them, like, no, the trick is to keep eye contact with the person. And because you're a copywriter, you can type on your keyboard without looking at it, but you keep conversation going, like, ah, yes, that word. yes, that is the correct way to spell that word, and that's exactly what it means, you know? And people are like, what? Because... That vastly, they don't teach you the dictionary. And that's like my worst thing, when people just assume you know the meaning of every word and how to spell every single word.
Hey, you're good at English. You know the meaning
granted,
of every word.
I think I have a better understanding of words than that, but it doesn't mean I know all of them. Like, tell me what this random word in the dictionary means. It means this.
Google is your friend.
What did people do without Google?
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine. Like, I can't imagine... me being a programmer not being able to instantly look at a forum, like, you know, look up someone having a similar issue to me and solve it. Because, like,
favorite thing is Nick Scott, you know, from Kind of Funny, says that in the 90s, before the internet, you could argue any point if you were confident enough. Because no one could prove you wrong. They couldn't, like, look it up. Like, yeah, the 45th president was, in fact, like, Bill Clinton.
It's like, whoa, that guy seems really enthusiastic about his answers.
No, it wasn't. Like, no, trust me, it was Bill Clinton. Wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about.
Wow.
Now you just look it up like, this guy's lying.
It's funny how that thing has come almost like full circle, because now the internet is like inundated with fake news.
With too much fake news.
Yeah, and people just saying things that aren't true, and people being too lazy to double check. You know, people thinking that everything, because it's on the internet, is true. So... kind of strange.
It's actually true, because my first thing now, whenever I read or watch a video or something, my first reaction is like, oh, like, I can't believe this happened. It's like, let me find another angle. Make sure this is exactly what happened. Or
let me look at the source.
Just check that it's actually true. What a time to be alive.
That's the world we live in now. The internet can't be... I mean, I guess it's good that it's... I want to say it's teaching people to do due diligence, but it's not really.
I don't know if it is.
It's really not. Like, I don't think many people do anyway. I mean... Facebook's so horrible with that shit.
My worst is, when relatives like, did you see this news?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, what? Where did you read that? On Facebook. I'm like, well, okay.
It's not. And then you're like, okay, but this isn't true. No, but it is true, because it's on Facebook.
I saw it on Facebook.
Fuck.
Like, Facebook is social platform. It's not, I don't know, trusted news source, really.
Yeah,
so.
I can write an article and say geese sprouts 10 wings.
I've often honestly been tempted to write like the most outrageous but like well crafted story that looks legit and share it on Facebook and see how far I could get. But
I'm pretty sure you'd be. I'm pretty sure I mean, you've seen that. What was it? I think it was Vice did a thing where they created like a fake restaurant. They used TripAdvisor and basically the weirdness of their algorithms to boost this restaurant up into like the most popular restaurants in London. And the restaurant didn't exist. So they'd never taken in a client. They'd never done anything, but they used like fake reviews and fake photos to convince people to sell the idea, to the point where people voted it as the best restaurant in London, a restaurant that did not exist. The top recommended one on TripAdvisor or whatever.
That is ridiculous.
Fucking
what a
wild.
Time to be alive. I can't fucking wait to tell my kids these stories of fake internet news. You know, things are wild here.
Yeah, it's the wild west of the internet.
Where do you think we'll be in like 20 years?
Oh, God, I don't know. Getting fake news beamed into our eyeballs.
Yeah, even just 10 years. It's hectic to think. Well, I suppose this is the discussion people have. At any point in history, is like, woo, like technology's at its best now. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in 10 years?
Well, it's always like last year that was really relevant because like last year was the 10-year anniversary of the iPhone. So you're like, holy crap, 10 years.
It feels like longer,
yeah,
actually.
10 years ago, smartphones
weren't.
The idea of smartphones didn't exist really.
Yeah, that's
not why, in the way that we think about them now.
Yeah, but that's why smartphones are actually kind of boring today.
It feels
like, because back then it was like, hey,
it was very
exciting, I got my new phone. This new phone has Bluetooth.
Yeah, oh
I
God.
Can send you stuff wirelessly.
I can beam you new MP3s.
Now it's like, this phone has 3 million gigs of RAM.
Now there's Spotify.
It's an octa-core times 5 processing. Like, okay,
wow.
that's
octa-core
nice.
Octa-core times 5.
I don't know what 40, it would call it.
40 cores, hot damn.
You can multitask faster. There was actually a news story. Was it a news story? There was a piece I read this week about a phone. No, wait. Oh, it wasn't. I had nothing to do with this. Somebody told me this. So this is how accurate my muscles
are. Fake news.
Someone's like, yeah, the new Samsung has a terabyte of storage on the phone.
Oh, the new iPhone has that as well.
Why do you need a terabyte of space?
Okay, no, wait. I might be wrong. It might not be the iPhone, but definitely the iPad.
iPhone has a terabyte of storage on it.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd need that. I know that the new iPad Pro comes with a terabyte option, and that option locally is like 33 grand. It's
my iPhone 64 gigs, I've used like 30 gigs. I don't know if I ever use more than that. It's mostly photos.
I'm even using less now because I'm not storing music. I'm using streaming services.
Streaming stuff,
so it's
yeah.
like, I don't, I mean, the only thing I'm using space for is like apps.
Yeah.
Or like
I
games.
I mean, and apps
whatever.
Are hardly the biggest thing.
I don't know. Some games are.
But I mean, a game's like a gig.
Fortnite's like over
gigs.
A gig, man.
Yeah, but that's Fortnite.
Fortnite,
yeah.
Yeah. We're here to talk about games like Fortnite.
Yes, we always segue like this. It's great.
It's so good. It's our thing. This is Checkpoint Chat. This is episode 39. We talk about games, sometimes not games, as you've just seen. Or
sometimes.
Heard, I guess. The people can't see us yet. So.
Well, we do have that guy looking at us through his binoculars.
Oh, that's creepy.
Go away.
You can contact us on Twitter, Checkpoint Chat, at Checkpoint Chat. You can also email us, checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. DMs, inboxes, they're all open.
Reset
all the
count on the email.
Did we get an email?
No, I'm saying that someone should send an email to reset the count.
Yeah, it's been like 2 weeks, I think.
It's been two weeks.
People don't like email, but I don't blame them. Email sucks.
Yeah, email.
I hate emailed work. Fuck.
Although, you know what? I don't like email either, but I can't imagine working without email.
Oh, I can. Slack for days, yo.
Yeah, but I don't know. Slack.
We get emails like whenever someone on the team, like a programmer, does something, like commits something or does a merge or something, we get an email. So it's like an email every 10 minutes. It's ridiculous. I get into the office and I have like 30 new emails that are useless. Like,
no, you just speed read through them. Just click, click, click. It's
God,
done.
So I hate everything. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
What you been playing?
Me? I've been playing the same old, same old.
You've been playing more
been
that Bloodborne?
Playing some more Bloodborne. So I'm not going to talk too much about it because, let's face it, I'm going to be playing this game for many, many weeks
forever.
Still. And I don't want to bore everyone to tears. But I'll give you an update.
How many more bosses did you beat this week?
So last week I think I was stuck on the but I hadn't beaten the Bloodstarved Beast.
No, last week you hadn't beaten Father Gascon even.
Was it that? Feels like a lifetime ago.
Because you had only just played one day.
You're right. So since then I've beat Father Gascon. I got to the Bloodstarved Beast who was very, very poisonous.
How many... Because you're keeping like a death counter going.
Yeah.
So do you know how many times you died to him?
Not to the specific bosses, but I could guess. The Bloodstarved Beast was maybe... Oh, wait. Father Gascoigne was maybe...
I think it was
like
eight
times,
yeah,
I'd say.
I think when I watched it was about eight.
Bloodstarved Beast was maybe... I don't know, 12 to 15 times.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then I got to Vicar Amelia earlier this week. I beat her. It took about... 7-8 times maybe.
Okay.
And the Witch of Hemwick first time, because it's more of like a puzzle than an actual boss fight. But
how
yeah.
creepy was Vicar Amelia's scream?
Oh my God, it's terrifying. Well, it's weird though, because I somehow found her, like I was telling you before we started recording, Bloodborne offers different experiences to people, or people experience it differently, because I've had many people being like, man, yeah, the Bloodstarved Beast, I beat it first time.
Yeah.
I'm like, how? And then the same people would be like, yeah, Vicar Amelia, sure. Hardest boss fight in the, not hardest boss fight in the game, but
I've seen people
really
say
hard
that,
boss fights. And then I'm like, yeah, she killed me a couple of times, but compare her to the Bloodstaff Beast. Bloodstaff Beast, there were many times like, I don't know how I'm going to beat this boss. Whereas Vic Camellia, I was like, no, I can beat her. Like, it's just a matter of, you know, not getting hits, whatever. But yeah.
Bloodstaff Beast was annoying because I felt like he always drained all my health fast. So even if I died like two times to him, I'd have to spend time farming.
Yeah, I've had it with both, actually, where I've had to just go quickly farm up some healing because I burn through my healing so quickly.
Yeah.
I do stupid things. I get hits and it's like, you know, you could have just...
I did enjoy your highlights video because I watched you fight the cleric beast.
Oh my God.
And you were like, I've got one vial of health left.
Yeah.
And he had like half his health still. Yeah. You're like, this is not going to end well.
That's exactly... I must actually put up the full thing because that fight, if you watch the whole thing, I burned through like all my healing. I'd say I had maybe 3 or 4 vials left and the boss was still on like half health, which means I burned through 15 plus just to get it to half health. Then that's the point, is like, shit, I need to be clever. And it's the moment you're patient, you know, and I did. I got to the end of the boss with no healing. But
so it basically, that taught you. It's like,
yeah, cool, it's like, no, you need patient, to, you really have to be patient in that game. And it punishes you so much, man. The number of times I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to quickly run through this and then I die. I'm like, shit, man.
Wait till you start dying to bosses when they have maybe 1 or 2 hits left. Because you're just like, I've been doing this 3-hit pattern, but I'm going to break out of that just because I'm really close.
Yeah, just because you're being greedy. That actually happened to me with Vic Amelia, although it wasn't me being greedy. She, like, literally, I don't know, like, maybe 1 combo away from death. She was downed. I just had to do a visceral attack. And for some reason, I couldn't trigger the animation. And then I was like panicking, started hitting her. She got up and swiped me and I died. I was like, oh no.
As soon as you panic and you know, you're like, I'm not in control anymore. And the game's just like, yes.
The game just knows.
It knows. It's like an animal like smelling fear.
I'm telling you, it picks up and must record something. It's like, okay, we can detect panic here.
Yeah. His palms are sweaty, knees weak.
arms are heavy. What, there's vomit on his sweater already? It's mom's spaghetti. What was I going to say?
It can definitely feel that. Like, man, some of those bosses, fuck. And you're getting to the interesting ones now. Like,
don't tell me that.
it is fascinating, though, because you mentioned the Witches of Hemwick. Hemwick, no. And I do not remember them until you showed me footage. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is, like I said, that boss was more of a puzzle because you get to this boss fight and my immediate reaction was there's a giant health bar at the bottom, as you know the big bosses tend to give. And then there's just this big, like, tall, skinny-looking, terrifying witch walking around. But the thing is, whenever I go into a boss fight, my first reaction isn't to just rush in and hit. I just wait. I'm like, okay, let's see what the attack is. This thing didn't run at me. It was just like stalking around the map. So I'm like, okay, it can't see me clearly. So there must be a trick to beating this. So like, I don't know if it's pulling a lever or running away or whatever. But then you eventually figure out that the actual witch or whatever is an invisible creature that only appears when you get within a certain radius. The thing is, like, the more damage you do to this witch, eventually that creature stalking around duplicates. So there's like 3 of them walking around, and you're just trying to avoid them while looking for this invisible creature who disappears after you do a bit of damage to it and appears somewhere else in the room. So I did that first time, but I was chatting to John Michael, who's like
a
Bloodborne expert. That would be his card if you were on Carte Blanche.
Bloodborne aficionado.
He knows that game inside out. He was telling me that he's watched people actually struggle in that boss fight purely because they don't figure out that. What they'll do is they'll run up to those creatures talking around, kill them, not realize that the health bar is going down of the actual boss. And then those creatures keep spawning and they're like, well, what is this boss fight? Because I beat it first time, I was like, that is a cool boss fight, but it's more of a puzzle than anything. Like, who would struggle on that? He's like, no, people legit just run in, start attacking, don't realize, like, oh, there's actually an invisible, you know, thing you have to find.
It's just weird. Like, I have these memories of some bosses in that game, like Daphne, Bloodstarved Beast, and Vic Amelia. And then, like, later ones, like...
Don't tell me.
Shadows of Yharnam.
No, don't tell me.
Rom the Vacuous.
I know.
I'm not going to tell you what he is. Yeah, I left out a part of his name because
that's
part of the surprise. And then I distinctly remember the DLC bosses because every single one of them was a fucking nightmare.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I get like triggered by thinking about some of those bosses. There's two that come right after one another. You beat one and you go into another room and it's straight away into another boss fight.
Oh,
and
shit.
The one prior, fuck man, I... And the last boss in the DLC, the Orphan of Kos, just... that was the one I was like streaming and...
You're like, I'm done with this game.
Jesus, I was so mad at that game so many times because that boss was like fast, aggressive, really, really powerful. Like all the ones in the DLC are extremely fast bosses. Yeah. So,
but I mean, that's just a testament to how great the game is in that... Like, I'll definitely remember the bosses for years. Like, if someone says, like, I'm playing Bloodborne, I'll be like, yeah, good luck with, like, the Bloodstaff Beast and Vicar Amelia. Like, I'll remember the names. Whereas, think about how many games you play with are boss fights and you don't even remember. It's like you'll beat them first time or take a couple of attempts and then move on.
Yeah.
Whereas, it really was, like, a full-on experience. Like, oh, my God, okay, this boss keeps killing me. How am I going to kill them? Got to go and strategize, think about it, watch their patterns, do it again and again and again.
Yeah, and it's like imprinted in your brain, just like if you had to face Bloodstar Beast, if I had to play it now and faced him, like I maybe would take a few attempts to get into the rhythm, but I know immediately like, oh, he does poison, he's big in this and that. And like that's stuck with me for like years.
Yeah. Not only that, I find it amazing that once you've beaten a boss, it's just the mental hurdle that you've overcome. I think about Bloodstar Beast, I'm like, yeah, I could beat him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I've done it now. And same with Vicar, I was like, yeah. Maybe not first time, but I won't ever panic running going like, shit, I don't know I'm going to do this. I've done it now.
It's interesting that the reward in Bloodborne is just that feeling of accomplishment.
Oh my God.
Whereas in other games, it's like it has to reward you with an item to make it feel worthwhile.
No, Bloodborne, I can honestly say, is one of very few games that's given me like a proper rush.
Yeah.
You know, when you're fighting a boss, like, okay, not you, but... me, my hands are sweating. I'm like, like panicking, like, oh my God. Then when you beat it, I'm legit like adrenaline, like, whew, like,
yeah,
I did
you're coming
that.
Down from like a high, yeah.
And it's, it's always tense, but it's so good. It's so worth it.
Yeah, it's a great game. I'm glad you chipping away at it and enjoying it as you
play it for many more weeks. Playing it in eight hour a week increments, this could take months.
Yeah, it could, could take a while.
A month
could take
or two. A while. Yeah, that's my Bloodborne update. What have you been playing?
I've been playing Resident Evil 2.
Leon Simulator.
2 Resident 2 Evil.
Oh, no.
The best of the Fast
the fastest
and Furious
of them. Wow. Yeah. So, wait, tell us. You're reviewing it, right?
Yes.
How far in the game are you?
I'm still early on Leon's playthrough, because I haven't had as much time to play as I would have liked.
Yeah.
But already, things are different from the demo. Like, you don't get the key card for the shotgun as early. Like, that thing's just not where
so
it is.
So taunt you, you're like, no.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah. There's like already new puzzles that weren't in the demo that I can do. And I feel like the game's harder.
Yeah.
I played the demo on like normal, but now I feel like there's more enemies. And fuck, these enemies take so many bullets. Like, some of these zombies are taking like 6, 7, 8 shots to the head going down. And then they're still getting up like later.
No
I come
ways.
Back into the room and they get back up. I'm just like, what the fuck?
Shit, man. That's sick.
So it's challenging. I've run out of ammo like a few times. Like in a room, 2 zombies coming at me, got 1 bullet left. I'm like, cool.
Can I shoot myself?
Yeah. Can I use this bullet on myself, please? And just like having to run away and just not engage enemies.
Yeah.
So that's really fun.
That's cool.
It's proper got me in the survival loop.
I think that's probably what's the most terrifying thing of this game is that we spoke about last week, Capcom knows what you expect. Like, no. We're going to ramp things up. We're going to give you a completely different experience. You're going to actually make you terrified.
Well, it's like they know like the liquor. They know that you expect it to come through this window, so they don't do it.
Yeah.
And they tease you in the same ways, but then it comes through a completely different angle.
Yeah.
Like, so that it's like, okay, I know this is the liquor part, but you're still thinking about where it's going to come at you.
Yeah.
And then they've also introduced this new enemy. Fuck, what's his name? I forgot his name. But he basically acts like Nemesis in 3.
Oh, Tyrant. No, that was in RE2.
Was he? I don't remember him being there.
I don't know if he was exclusive
was
to
it
Leon. Yeah, I think it's Tyrant. Yeah. I don't know if he was exclusive to Leon or Claire's camp, or maybe he was in both, but he definitely was in the original.
I do not remember that from... Yeah. I thought he was like a brand new thing.
No, he did feature.
Okay. But he's like, he's terrifying.
Absolutely
terrifying. He stalks you and you hear his footsteps, and because the sound design in Resident Evil 2 Remake is so damn good. Like, this is a game you need to play with headphones.
Oh, no. This is a game I'm going to play silently.
Silently with you need headphones to really take in that rich audio and get, you know, like, shit yourself when jump scares come. But his footsteps just, like, echo. And when you're running around and hoping not to run into him, it's scary. It's scary stuff.
But now... I don't know if I should ask this, but I want to ask it. Because zombies can come through doors in this game. Mm-hmm. Most of them, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get rid of this guy? Because surely in the previous game, it's like, oh no, there's a talent to run through a door.
Well, he can come through the door. You just got to keep going.
That's what I'm saying. So you legit just have to keep running away until you lose him. Oh no.
Like the normal zombies, if you break line of sight enough, they'll not know what to do.
Mm.
But sometimes, like, I've had instances where I walked out of a room and walked straight into a new one, and I'm like, oh, this guy will never know.
Yeah.
And then I just heard the door, like, being banged on. I was like, oh, fuck.
I know.
Yeah. And they do a really cool thing where the zombies bang on the door so you know they're there.
Yeah.
So you can either, like, walk up to the door and try and, like, push the door and push them.
Yeah.
But so often I've got to the door thinking I'm going to do that, and as I do that, they bang through the door, and then they're on me, and I'm like, fuck! So it's almost like they've kept the jump scares from the weird room transitions in the original,
yeah,
but made it more a gameplay element, you know what I
mean? Yeah.
Because I remember in the older ones, you'd open the door, and it'd be that slow animation. That
loading screen,
and sometimes you'd see a zombie coming through, and you'd be like, oh no!
That is actually, that was only done once or twice, though. But but it was terrifying, because despite playing through the whole game, thinking like, okay, you know, here's a door animation. Eventually, they throw one where it's like, oh my God, there's a door animation, there's zombies coming through.
You open the door, and you're like, wait, what the fuck? This is like coming at me there.
This is different. What is
Oh man, I distinctly remember as a kid playing that and being just completely
terrified.
Unsettled at the sound of the door opening.
Yeah.
It's always like silent and this like creaking and But that's what Capcom nails so well in this, is just, you know, the audio is so on point.
Yeah.
It really unsettles you constantly. And like any good horror film, it's the audio that keeps the tension, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a game that's super relying on jump scares or whatever. It's just the sense of uneasiness constantly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it works super well as a third person, you know, over the shoulder.
Mm.
What I noticed was that you're really close to Leon's back. So you, even though it's third person, you don't have much of a peripheral.
Mm.
So you still feel a bit like tight and claustrophobic in some rooms, which is kind of cool. And then even though it's third person and way faster than the tank controls, it's still a bit slow because you have to wait for like the reticle to like snap in. And your aiming isn't like super pinpoint and sharp. No. And
They've done it so well. So Tyrant is in the original Resident Evil.
Oh, was he? Okay. I completely forgot about him.
I remember him being there. I just can't remember if he appeared in both Leon and Claire's campaign or if he's exclusive to one of the
campaigns. Yeah, because you can choose from the outset here whether to take Leon or Claire's.
So is it the same thing where you'll play through the game from just, I suppose, the more or less the same main narrative, but from their different perspective.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's variations to the endings.
When you say different perspective, it's not... like exclusive.
Like now in Leon's one, as we get to the police station, Leon and Claire are split up.
Yeah.
So I assume when you're playing as Claire, you're going to play her route into the police station.
Because in the original Resident Evil 2, it was always just the same route.
Until
you finish the game, then you got to do the alternate playthrough, which started you in a different area to get to the police station.
I think that's how it works.
Okay, so it'll probably be similar, yeah.
I think that's how it works, because I saw some people, or I saw some reviews saying, oh, it's a bit tedious to play through the same thing as Claire to get to, you know, the different scenario.
Yeah.
That's some Yokotaro shit. It's like, finish the game multiple times.
That's Resident Evil. The part of the charm of it is playing it to see the different endings and everything. And the thing is,
then you can play as a block of tofu at the end.
Yeah, man, that's the that's the best part of the game.
Fucking hell, what the hell?
That's when they showed so you obviously finished the one shot. Wait, did you finish the one shot demo?
Well, no, they showed the trailer.
Regardless, okay. And then they reveal that, and it's like, what?
Yeah, I looked at it because I didn't know what it was. I was like, what is that?
Like, the thing is, I saw it and I was like, what? That looked like it looks familiar. Like, I get it.
Tofu, then, man.
Yeah, then I looked it up. I was like, oh yeah, I remember the tofu from Resident Evil 2. So
and the big soldier dude.
Hank. One of them.
I did watch a retrospective on the story of Resident Evil. I didn't realize how bullshit that story is at times. Like, it's really crap.
Remember, this is 90s games. And then like, as years went on, they, I suppose, try to like mature the story, but it's still like wild.
I think the video about halfway through, it was like, remember, we haven't even got to any of the games yet because there's so much
stuff that
bullshit backstory.
Yeah.
Like, but then it's just like, I feel like Resident Evil 2 succeeds because it's pure in a nature where it's not mostly not dealing with a lot of that bullshit. It's just like, this T-virus is here, there's zombies, this city has gone to shit. Like, that's it. Whereas other entries like even I love 5. I know a lot of people don't like 5.
No, I love 5.
I love 5. But that story got wild.
It did.
Like, completely stupid. 6 was a convoluted nightmare. And even 7 has elements that tie back into the larger Resident Evil universe stuff that doesn't. It's just stupid. It could have been a self-contained. You know, I think that's why 4 succeeds so well, because it is self-contained. Like, it's like, Leon is here to save the president's daughter. That's it. Like, there's no connection to Umbrella. There's no nothing.
But it's still like no connection to Umbrella, but it's still a virus.
It is, but it's just like, it's not like, oh, this is a variation of the T virus. It's the G1 virus or what?
All these viruses.
Yeah. And like the whole thing with Wesker and like, it's all bullshit. All of it. It's all, it's some Metal Gear Solid level bullshit.
It really is. Finally, have a weapon to overcome Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Remake 2.
I mean, it's been a week for convoluted stories because we had Kingdom Hearts reviews dropping as well. So, but yeah, Resident Evil 2, super good. I
can't wait to play it.
I love it a lot. It's beautiful.
PS4.
Yeah, it makes my PS4 sound like a rocket ship. I don't dig it.
PS Pro.
Yeah.
PS4 Pro.
Yeah, these PS4 Pros are. Like, loud. The first models were just bad. They're way too loud. And it annoys me because I have to use headphones. Because if I'm not using headphones, it's like I can hear it over, like, my speakers, which is ridiculous.
You should hear my standard PS4 when I play Bloodborne. I think I need to open the thing up and clean the fans because it's like... I'm like, no, don't explode.
That game pushes the console. Yeah. It's a good-looking game.
It's beautiful.
When you get, like, your coat like blood soaked and it looks all shiny and
I'm currently wearing the Gravekeeper armor, whatever,
and the one that's got cool. Like lots of
it actually makes me think a little bit of Assassin's Creed, like the original Templar design.
Exactly,
it's like you got the hood and not like a scarf, but you got like a cape kind of, but not really.
I do love how you have that character customization at the beginning. You never see your character.
No.
Like, you don't even see their face because they've always got like
that's something, yeah. All, the only thing I know is my character, I gave them glasses, and if I pan the camera around, it's like they're wearing armor and it's just framed. You see glasses. So good.
Monster just needs to knock off your glasses and then you're like, blind during the boss fight.
I can't see. Yeah, we've only played those games this week.
I did play another game, but I can't talk about it because the embargo's
embargo
is on Tuesday. Yeah, it's not a great game.
If we could tell everyone to, you talk about it, but tell everyone, hey, don't listen to this until Tuesday.
Yeah, just mute this until Tuesday. We trust you.
I
love you, but I don't trust you that much to get in big trouble like that. Play Resident Evil. It's a Game of the Year contender in January.
That always gets me. It's these January games.
Last year it was Celeste. This year it's Resident Evil.
And Monster Hunter last year was also January.
Yeah,
and the
true.
Year before, Resident Evil 7. That was the year of Nintendo.
Fuck. Yeah.
Where it is like, yeah, Nintendo's cleaning up, but don't forget, guys, Resident Evil 7
Resident
came out this year.
Resident Evil 7 was good. Do you know I haven't finished Resident Evil 7 yet? I've played the opening twice.
Oh, no.
And I say the opening as in beating the father.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's still the best part of the game because after that is fine so far.
Yeah.
But man, that opening's so strong.
No, the opening's good. And the game falls into that Resident Evil problem of, not the Resident Evil problem, but a lot of the games do tend to become too action-y. toward the end. Because obviously you're like well kitted now, you've got a lot of ammo, and then they just think like, hey, we're going to throw a lot of enemies at you. And your Resident Evil 7 has that thing where it's all of a sudden not so much survival, more like action shooter, just
Well, they do that in the DLC as well, where you play as Chris Redfield and you come in and you got like a fucking assault rifle.
I still want to go replay the game and do all the DLC.
Because
the game, honestly, is really good.
That game is, the tension, oh, man, the father point is just so good. Like when you're in the mansion, like foyer, and there's the two stairs like splitting to your left and right, and you just hear him like walking down the corridor. Fuck
like
me.
No.
Terrifies me.
That franchise is so good.
I
again,
see you,
man.
Boy.
Boy.
He's just coming at you. He's like fucking grumpy old Kratos.
Is this the Kratos origin story?
Jesus. And also that the part where he kills the cop with the spade. It's so disgusting. It's so nasty and terrifying.
Don't think about Capcom, man. They've done so well with Resident Evil.
They really have. For a company that looked like it was on its last legs for a long time.
Yeah, it's just hit after hit after hit now.
And you know, when we were at E3 and they were like, hey, here's Resident Evil 7. Well, this kitchen demo is actually Resident Evil 7. Hey, it's out in 5 months. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, we're
ways.
Like, this is a mistake.
No way. There's no way this is going to be good. And
but I mean, it's
excellent.
It's kind of the same thing with Remake 2. We always knew it was coming, but they only really showed it at E3 last year. And it was like, cool, here it is. By the way, it's out in 6 months.
Yeah.
And here we are. You know?
They've had three hits now in a row. It's just like Resident Evil 7, Monster Hunter World, which is their best-selling game ever. I think. And now RE2.
And RE2, I think it's reviewing well and it's going to sell
RE2's
well.
RE2's reviewed so
which
well.
Which makes me wonder when we're going to get remake of number 3.
Oh, people are like, oh, they must remake Dino Crisis now. I'm like,
I'd like to play a Dino Crisis remake, but... What like, I don't know, whatever they do, if they remake Resident Evil 3, I'm like, cool, I'd love that, because it's still my favorite game in the whole franchise, you know, just because that's probably my first touch point in the franchise. Yeah, stars. or they're just going to make a brand new Resident Evil Resident Evil 8, whatever.
I'm very curious to see, because now they're kind of like split, like Resident Evil 7 really worked as this first person perspective, but RE2 perfects this formula that was introduced in Resident Evil 4. So what do they do?
What do they do now?
Like, yeah.
Here's a prediction. I think Resident Evil 8 will be first person again, but then the remake 3, it'll be over the shoulder again.
I'd be fine with that. What I do hope is that whatever they do with the future of Resident Evil, because now they've obviously continued this convoluted story with 7. Yeah. I hope they keep it somewhat self-contained again. Like, Resident Evil 7 felt good because it was in this intimate little mansion.
Yeah.
This little house. It wasn't hopping between locales. Uh-uh. In the same way that Resident Evil 2 feels good because you're in the police station.
Same place, yeah.
So, I hope they learn from that. Because even though I love Resident Evil 5, each chapter felt like a distinctly different area.
You're just globetrotting. You're not globetrotting, but it felt
like a linear action game. It didn't feel like I was solving puzzles in this area, like doing a bit of backtracking here and there, and I like that. So I don't know, I'm more inclined to think that Capcom would make a good decision now than I would have been like 3-4 years ago. So
let's see but the next game's Devil May Cry.
The only thing they're really not winning on is their fighting games, because they had Street Fighter 5 and then Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, which was a fucking disaster. Like
Easter Egg Special Edition.
Jesus.
But that's fine.
I'm glad that they're good with their single player stuff.
They're nailing the single player
stuff.
I'm
there for that, yeah. I'm very keen for Devil May Cry 5.
Like, oh boy.
Very excited for that game. I love Devil May Cry. Let's talk about convoluted stories in Devil May Cry. Holy shit.
Is it hectic?
Jesus Christ, it's such bullshit.
I know. Well, that's okay.
It's good campy bullshit, but it's bullshit. It's bullshit. Jesus.
Well, so speaking of games coming out, shall we get to games coming out?
No.
So the time you listen to this, Resident Evil 2 is out, obviously. Enjoy.
Yeah.
You probably spent all weekend dying.
Have you seen the lenticular version? The like physical edition? It's got this like...
I think, yeah.
A hologram thing. But it's so cool because it shifts between clearly.
That's awesome.
I would buy physical for that. just for that. So we're looking at games releasing between today, the 26th of January, to the 1st of Feb. We're in Feb soon. Holy shit. January is over.
Next thing you know, it's Christmas.
Oh, Jesus, no.
We're talking game of the year.
Okay, so yesterday, Anthem VIP demo came out.
Well,
came out is
25 Jan.
Yeah, it that shit did not... It crashed all the servers. EA servers went down.
Simulator for anyone.
I mean, they went down across other games as well. It was...
I'll never understand these early beta things. Like, I get it. It's a stress test. But it's like, surely, you know, this is actually probably the time you're going to have the most number of players because it's free for everyone.
Oh, no. Well, this one isn't free. This is for pre-orders. The free one's next week.
Next week, yeah. But you know what I mean? It's probably the highest peak you're ever going to have.
But that's what... I guess that's what they're testing. Yeah. And if it's like... If it's a problem now still, it's like, ooh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Okay, so that came out... Well, came out yesterday. Then on January 29th, we've got Genesis Alpha 1, which is like a... Think of if like FTL was like a first person roguelike. That's what you get. That's the game cool. I'm actually reviewing.
Oh my God, this is... You just lost your job.
Yeah, just lost my job. Yeah. I'll talk about that more next week.
Kingdom Hearts
3. Can you believe it?
What a
Kingdom Hearts 3. There were reviews this week for a Kingdom Hearts game that wasn't 2.8 Dream Drop Distance.
And it reviewed well.
It reviewed very well, yeah. Solid 8s. Nines around the table. Like, the thing I got from most, like, just scanning most of the reviews is that it's good, but it doesn't fix like some of the bullshit that the series has been known for, like its story. Although apparently it has a satisfying ending.
Everyone dies.
Yeah, everyone dies.
No loose ends. Nothing. Yeah, everyone just dies.
Kill Winnie the Pooh. They knock no. the fuck out.
Mickey Mouse turns out he was the bad guy the whole time.
I think he has been the bad guy in the series. But yeah, that aside, I think everyone is kind of like very warm on the game's mechanics and stuff like that. So that's cool.
But when you say reviewed really well. And Resident Evil 2 is doing the same thing. We're in January. That's two really big. Like, I don't know. You say Resident Evil is like game of the year.
Oh, it's game of the year material, 100%.
I don't know. Is Kingdom Hearts, you think, in the same conversation?
I think it will probably be in that conversation based on the reviews. Okay. But yeah, so I can't say.
January 2019, two game of the year contenders already.
Yeah. Can you believe that Kingdom Hearts 2 came out 14 years ago?
Yeah, that's disgusting.
That's crazy. I mean, there's been games in between then, but wild. Can you imagine the weight of expectation
on
that? You
know what? This time next year, we'll be like, can you believe that Half-Life 3 is finally out? After all this time.
Good Lord. Well, they're going to have to do something to cauterize the flow of Artifact players leaving.
I know.
They're like, fuck, okay. Hit the red button. Half-Life 3.
Release the orange box too.
Yeah, you just see Gabe taking like two keys as like a nuclear box. He just has like, to like turn it. Are you sure you want to do this, sir?
Yeah, I'm still convinced they're going to shadow drop it overnight. Just imagine. Jesus, you wake up one day.
Christ. Could you?
News articles like, hey, you should open your Steam. Like,
could you imagine?
Holy open it up. Crap. It's like, hey, Half-Life 3 is out. You can play it now. Wow.
Fuck me.
And then it turns out it's bad.
I would have believed that maybe a few years ago. With Valve being who they were then, now, I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, Planetside Arena coming to PC on January 29th. Warbital. I don't know what that means, but I'm hoping it's like a wombat in space or something. Warbital. January 31st for PC. Tangle Deep, Switch, January 31st. Mm-hmm. That's weird because there's a game that's like an homage to Sega Genesis called Tanglewood, and it's not the same game. But it's not the same game. Sunless Skies official launch January 31st.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like I've heard of that game for a long time.
Oh, Sunless Skies.
Yeah, Sunless Skies.
Summer Skies.
Summer Skies.
Is that a song?
No. I don't know.
Wow.
It is now. Necrosphere Deluxe, PS4, Switch, and Vita. January 31st. What year is it?
Dust off that Vita.
Alien Blackout, the sequel to Isolation that isn't on consoles. Android and
it's
iOS.
It's a mobile game.
It's apparently coming this week. I saw reviews for it already out, and it seems it had potential, and then it squanders it, which is...
What?
Lightseekers, January. Nice. Just says January. And Warhammer Quest 2, The End of Time, is also apparently
in
just
January. In the same
January.
Week, wait, go back up. We've got Lightseekers releasing in the same week as Sunless Skies.
Yep.
They're both destined to fail.
If you play games at the same time, your PC explodes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Half-Life 3 will be
You've been
released.
Warned. You've been warned.
I told you.
Yeah. Then February 1st is packed. So next week, Friday. We've got Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown coming to PC. It's already out on consoles. Animal Super Squad to Xbox
One. That's a game
One.
I want
to
play.
Hot damn. Do you think that's like a Cheer Squad, but with animals?
Animal Super Squad.
That'd be pretty cool.
Look it up. Why not?
Song of Memories coming to PS4.
If you guys can hear the dogs coming through the podcast, it's on our side, not on your side.
Yeah.
Just in case you're wondering.
Spinortality. Is that a Mortal Kombat move?
Yes. Wait,
Spinortality.
What is that game called? Animal Super Squad.
Yeah. PC, February 1st. Rainswept coming to PC on February 1st as well. Ah, the big one for me, Wargroove, PC and Switch, February 1st.
Now, tell me about this game, because I've seen a lot of people talking about it.
Wargroove is like a spiritual successor to Advance Wars.
Yes, but it's with animals.
No. You can have animals in your squad. You can have a good doggo commando.
Uh-oh.
Very cool. Your dog's just commanding tanks.
That's game of the year right
there. Yeah, exactly. It's got a really cool cartoony vibe to it. Very colorful. I've been waiting for this game for ages, since the Switch was announced, because I feel like it was announced with the Switch.
Oh, I didn't even know it existed.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's just a game that's flown under my radar.
Nintendo had a small Nindies presentation this week, and that was the big news, was getting a release date. So.
Wait, Animal Super Squad is a physics-based adventure game that lets you play as your favorite animal. Speed through a world full of dangers
and
bananas. No, but you can play as a chicken.
Okay, that's my second favorite.
There's literally only two screenshots in this game.
Oh, awkward.
But yeah, it looks like you...
Like Goat Simulator thing? Or
no, it's a 2D, you're rushing along a cart, railway, I guess. Yeah, physics-based adventure game.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Animal Super Squad, not what I thought it would be.
No.
So Wargroove is on PC and Switch February 1st. Then we got 8-Bit Hordes on February 1st as well. And then Anthem's open betas starting on February 1st too. Do you want a preview for the week after?
Yes. Pick your top three.
Big games. Salt and Sanctuary on Xbox One.
I've heard of Salt and Sanctuary.
Ape Out. Finally coming out. It's that... That's that like Hotline Miami type vibe, but you're a gorilla escaping from like a skyscraper. It looks fucking cool. And then The Division's private beta is also the week after. Mm. So big things happening in the world of games.
What a time to be alive.
It's only
the first month of 2019 and things are already flying.
Yep. It's true.
Let's talk about some gaming news. Were there any hot scandals this week?
There was big news yesterday. Shit went crazy yesterday when Nintendo came out. And they were like, hey, we've got an update for Metroid Prime 4. And everyone's
people
like,
were like, yeah!
Fuck yeah, release date, ooh yeah! Turns out that game is very far away because it's being completely rebooted. The previous developers who were reportedly Bandai Namco, they always change. I keep forgetting.
Banco Namdai.
They apparently did not impress Nintendo with the progress on Prime 4. So Nintendo scrapping it, restarting it from the ground up, and getting the previous developers of Prime Retro Studios on the project.
That's hectic.
Now, a few things. The people that made Prime 1, 2, and 3, most of them have left Retro.
Nice.
So it's a new studio for all intents and purposes. Secondly, Retro's been working on something unannounced for the past 6 years.
Oh, no.
So what happens to that project now? There was a previous employee who tweeted saying, unless my former studio suddenly turned into a two-team department, it probably means whatever they were working on was cancelled.
What?
Or put on the back burner.
Yeah, put on the back burner.
It was, the rumors were that they were working on a Star Fox racing game. So what the fuck have Retro been doing for 5 years
and now
they must
stop
it?
Can you imagine being like either of those studios, the Bandai Namco Bandai, but what?
Then yes,
that one, and they're like, Nintendo's like, nope, scrap the game.
Yeah, it's a wild thing for them to basically come out and be like, this was not working, we are just restarting it. Not like, I mean, this could be what they're doing, like using some assets from that game, but just like, to be so
straight up, just
other publishers would try to salvage that. Like, it's
It's like, make it a spin-off or something, but no.
It's incredible that they did that, and they made it clear that it's going to be a long time before we hear more about Metroid Prime 4, which I think we'd be lucky if that game comes out on Switch still.
How hectic, though.
Yeah, Jesus. This is turning into, like, Zelda's new Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Like, new Zelda on Wii U. Nope, not coming. Oh, it's on Switch. Oh, it got delayed. Oh, this, that. Yeah. It's,
That's insane.
Maybe, people shouldn't reveal games with just a logo when they're not done.
It's too early.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Speaking of games with logos, when are we going to get the new Elder Scrolls?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Jesus Christ. Oh, it's been rebooted as well.
Oh, no. Whoa, that's not actual news.
Yeah, that's not actual news. No. Ubisoft is changing the controversial player choice thing in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So just a quick thing is that you can play Assassin's Creed Odyssey as Alexios or Cassandra, and you can play it according to whatever sexuality you want. You can play Alexios can be gay, Cassandra can be gay as well. That can be bisexual, that can be whatever.
Whatever the hell you want.
The problem is in the DLC, the game does a hard pivot and basically yanks that choice away from you at the end for like a plot device.
Mm.
It basically turns Cassandra into a mother, irrespective of whether Cassandra's into guys and Alexios into a father, irrespective as well.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like... cool, you're telling a story, but also kind of shitty if you've been role-playing these characters for X number of hours and now suddenly the game's just like, cool, we gave you this freedom, but it doesn't matter. So they're apparently changing that to better reflect players' agency, which I think is a good choice.
How are they changing it, though? Are they just...
They haven't really said.
They just said that. Yeah, we're changing it. How are we changing it?
Guys? Yeah, I'm curious to see how they change it, but I think it's a good choice. Like, if you're going to give players agency, don't yank it away at the last moment. Cyberpunk 2077 creative director leaves CD Projekt Red for Blizzard. That seems
poor
move.
Juicy news.
Mm. Yeah, that is quite juicy. I'm not sure why, but... creative director is a big role and definitely not one that, you know, can leave in the middle of a project. So
that's hectic.
Interesting. From Software said that if the right studio came along, they would consider Demon's Souls remaster.
Boo.
Bluepoint Games better be listening, because I'm still certain that's what they're working on.
The Demon's Souls remaster.
Yeah, because straight after Shadow Colossus, they were like, we're working on a big big game on a big franchise for our next remake.
No.
And they've done stellar work with
Demon's Souls is like the OG Dark Souls.
Demon's Souls is hard as fuck.
You just skip past the best news ever. It's a Farming Simulator 9 esports.
Oh, shit, yeah. Okay, you can tell me about this.
I didn't read about it. I just saw... this article is titled, the newest game to become an esport is...
Farming Simulator. Farming Simulator. Giant Software, they're launching a Farming Simulator League, which is a competitive farming sim league with a prize pool that puts many bigger games to shame. This is according to Jeffrey Tim, Critical Hit.
That guy.
The league has a pool of €250,000.
What?
Which is more than the last two official Halo tournaments put together. That's wild.
Oh my god, when you contextualize it like that, it's like...
The league will be using Farming Simulator 19 and will use a 3v3 competitive mode instead of the traditional bale stacking that's been used in farming sim competitions before. How do you play this competitively?
What is this? Yeah.
How? I want to know. I want to watch a stream.
You get your tractors together. You march down a lane, you take the enemy base.
Look at that planting. Look at these carrots.
Oh my god, look at that strat. Look how neat his rows are.
God, I kind of need to watch this. Yeah. I'm
curious to see. I mean, how long does a game last?
I have no idea.
Here we have the next 3v3 spanning 3 months of actual in-game farming time.
Good lord. There was a rumor floating about during the week that Fallout 76 might go free to play. Bethesda nipped that in the bud and said no.
I think it's still going to go free to play. I think it will
eventually. Yeah. That game just keeps getting knocked down.
What?
For the first time since 2013, Call of Duty wasn't the best-selling game of the year.
What do you guys think it was? We'll give you 5 seconds.
One,
two, three. We'll give you a hint. It starts with a yee and ends with a ha.
Yeehaw. Well, the best-selling game of the year was, of course, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Cowboys, Activision Cowboy Simulator.
Just enjoying Well, I guess it's 2K actually. It's not Activision.
They're just enjoying infinite money.
That is fascinating though, because multiplayer games certainly do have more pool.
So, yeah.
But it is Rockstar, so I guess.
Yeah.
What else? Critics were very warm on Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Goddamn.
Shocker.
Who are you viewing it for? Critical hits.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Metro Exodus publisher isn't worried that the game is sandwiched between Crackdown 3, Far Cry, New Dawn, and Anthem, which is kind of hubris, I think, because like those are big hitting games.
I don't know. The thing is, Feb and March, it's just what. We've had this conversation, but I don't know why people still insist on releasing these games in these specific periods.
Yeah.
Like if I were, I don't know, Metro or Anthem, for example, I'd release in April.
Mm.
No one's coming out, like what big titles are coming out in April?
Like April, May is it's a great quiet time.
Yeah. But they're all like, no, we're all going to release at the exact same time and force people to choose.
In February, yeah, in the same week.
That's insane. Yeah, just in the same week.
Yeah.
Not even just a month.
Yakuza Kiwami is headed to PC on February 19th. That's the remake of Yakuza 1, which is apparently really good. Look at that good screenshot. It's just a dude coming out of a sewer. He's got an eye patch.
Oh, yes.
Very good. What else?
Take it. Makes for an action-packed puzzle.
Did we talk about Mortal Kombat? We did, hey, last week.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, because I think the event was on the Thursday.
Watch Kojima's PT recreate.
Oh, yeah. So Dreams has been having a beta. So Dreams is that...
Media molecule.
It's a very strange... it's hard to describe. It's like you can make games within this game.
So these are the people who made Little Big Planet.
Yes.
And remember, in Little Big Planet, cute little side-scrolling platformer, but that came packed with tools that allowed people to make... like all manners of
you can make like shoot 'em ups, you can make platforming runs.
Still don't quite understand how that works, but Dreams is basically just that, like a massive toolkit.
Dreams is like just raw putty and
you can
just
do whatever the hell you want.
So there's been a strict NDA on beta footage, but one user clearly didn't give a shit. And he recreated Hideo Kojima's PT demo in Dreams.
That's insane.
He also then, after that, recreated like a scene from Dead Space in Dreams, and it looks like
it's
fucking crazy. This is the best advertising for Dreams ever.
But like, someone tweeted out, was it? I don't know if it was like Lana Pierce or someone, one of those big like journalists / big gaming personalities that said they don't understand why. There's an India in Dreams.
Yeah.
To really sell the game is to see the game, and she loves the game and she wants more people to see it, but people can't see it because there's an India.
This is like the best marketing for the game so far, because people are like, you can create stuff like this in the game. Like, people don't know what Dreams is.
When did they show it? And like originally,
ages ago,
it was like, this is weird. Like, what is it?
Yeah, their first demo was strange. It's bizarre. So I don't get why. Maybe there's an NDA in place to prevent, like, maybe there's a lot of bugs that they don't want people making GIFs of.
Yeah, but
this shit is fucking cool.
Yeah.
So this makes me more excited for Dreams than any other, you know, press has before. So
drop the NDA.
Drop that NDA. And that's news for the week.
Is that it?
Yeah. No scandals or any pitch for this week.
Oh man.
None today, friend.
Wow, this might very well be our shortest recording. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it works out because you've got wedding stuff to do.
I have a busy day. Holy shit.
Yeah, Maddie's got a busy day. So we're not intentionally rushing, but it's been a week.
Can I just give a shout out to Alessandro letting us record at 7 in the morning?
Jesus fucking Christ. I deserve a medal for this shit.
Yeah, because, you know, adulting's hard.
I always wake up and I'm like... this message of Matty going, I'm running late. But today, as I woke up, he's like, I'm leaving, fam. Fuck.
I never run. Okay, I do often run
late. That's a lie. You run late just as much as me.
But by like 5-10 minutes at a time.
Yeah, I run late by like 5-10 hours.
Yeah, 5-10 hours is about accurate.
I'm going to be late to your wedding by day.
Well, no, you can't do that. Jesus. Okay, we have two questions this week.
Ah, damn. Do you want to know where people can send us questions? That's probably useful.
No. Yes.
You can send us a question on Twitter at Checkpoint Chat. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/checkpointchat. You can also reset the counter and email us, checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. Our inbox is always open. Maddie sends out a good tweet on Friday to ask for questions, but you can message
us. You can just message us whenever the hell
you want.
You
can ask us gaming stuff. You can ask us what underwear we're wearing.
Oh,
whoa. What pets we have.
Not wearing any.
How excited Maddie is for his wedding.
Oh, yes. Spoiler, very excited.
What time is Kat woke him up this morning?
5.
Oh, yeah. So, see,
you know, I've got all the answers,
right?
I've got
all the answers to these great questions.
I could tell you about, well, I already told you about my cat waking
cat, the worst.
This piece of shit cat. Okay, no, that's a bit much. This little loving cat called Luna, okay, wakes me up at 5 in the morning. It's like, hey, please feed me. Like, hey, I see you sleeping, but please could you get up and feed me?
Is it just like, does she just come onto your chest and just pause
no,
your
she
face?
Just sits next to me and looks at me and meows. Like,
oh, does she meow?
It's like, meow. And translate, it's like, hey,
and does
feed me?
And does Lenska get up?
No, she doesn't even realize.
Matty, take care of the children.
No, she's like, what do you mean you're working but 5 this morning? I didn't realize there was a cat like meowing. Oh my God, you're such a deep sleeper. I have to walk to the kitchen with my eyes barely open because I'm so full of sleep. I manage to squeeze one open, look at the bowl, I'm like, there's food in there. And then Luna looks and she's like, hey, there's food in here. Thanks. It starts eating. I'm like, you little shit. Like, check your bowl before you bother me. Like, come on. It's just
cats,
right, you know?
Fucking dicks.
And then Lupin in the middle of the night would inexplicably come and meow like, hey, what you doing?
What you doing? Like, are you sleeping?
I'm sleeping. Leave me. Okay. Let's get to questions. So, number one from Shani ZA. She says, does Matthew Fick still love 5 stars as much?
No, he doesn't. I haven't seen you eat a 5-star
in
ages.
The truth is, I haven't had a 5-star in ages. And that's not because I'd like them any less. I just...
It's because Cadbury's never sponsored us.
Yeah, that's the actual reality. Cadbury, if you're listening, give us a sponsorship. I'll punt the shit out of your 5 stars.
See, they never sponsored us, so you can't influence for them anymore.
No, yeah. Oh, shit. I've lost
this
my
This is a bigger tragedy than Fire Festival.
Speaking of Fire Festival, I have to watch it. I'm dying to
watch it. I watched both, Netflix and Hulu one.
Which one would you say is the best?
I think the Hulu one is better.
Yeah.
But I think the Netflix one is super worth it still.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm only going to watch the Netflix one. Yeah. Maybe I'll get the Hulu one. Do I still love 5-star? Well, Shani, I do in fact still love 5-star. But you're right, I've hardly advocated for them for ages now.
I know.
It's been actual months.
I mean, I remember you always tweeting about having one on a Friday or something like
You're
that.
You're right.
Are you just trying to get fitter time. For your wedding?
But everyone says it. Like, hey, are you watching your weight? Like,
you're like, does everyone think I'm fat? Like
what is this? It's like Lenska's lost weight, but not for any reason other than she just happened to lose weight. And people are like, oh, yeah, you're trimming for the wedding. She's like, no.
I'm just trying to be a better self.
Like we've changed nothing in our diets or anything. It just happens, you know. Joe, 5 stars, you know, Shani, I'll go and I'll buy 5-star and I'll tweet at you. Like, here you go. I still have 5-star. And then I'll include Cadbury, like, sponsor us.
Sponsor us, yeah.
See what they say. Probably.
I haven't had a 5-star in forever because I find them too sweet.
Way. No, this is why we can't be friends. Too sweet. Some people just can't be friends.
I could have like
friends.
8 bites. My dad got a massive Toblerone for his birthday the other day.
Yeah.
Like each little triangle was like a meal. It was really
it's
good.
It's good, hey?
It's very good. I like Toblerone.
But speaking of 5-star, I actually know why I stopped eating 5-star, but remember those limited edition slabs? The 5-star slab.
Oh, yes. I do remember that.
That was so good, and that's just off the market now.
Is it gone?
I think it was limited time, so it's not there anymore. Like, well, if I can't have that, then I don't want the
original 5-star.
That was pretty
good. That was a much better version of the 5-star.
It was a good balance, yeah. I still love 5-star, though.
Yesterday,
so don't doubt my commitment to the chocolate.
Yesterday at the office, we got a chocolate for payday.
Chocolate for payday. Yeah. Did they not give you money?
I mean, like, they gave us money and then they gave us chocolate.
You worked hard. Here's 3 chocolate slabs. Well
you
done.
You know what fucking chocolate they gave us?
5-star.
No. Chocolate log. Who the fuck eats that bullshit?
You don't like chocolate log?
Chocolate log is gross.
No,
come
man.
On.
It's the best.
No.
Okay, it depends how you eat it. Do you just bite into it?
Yes.
Well, that's your problem.
What do you mean? How are you meant to eat it?
You have to. So this is the way you do it. You have to eat the chocolate off the top. Okay, you just pick off the chocolate. Don't touch the marshmallow yet, okay? You pick off the chocolate.
So your hands are just like, fuck off, sticky
at
that point.
No, you bite it. You don't have to pick it off. You just bite the chocolate off, okay? Then you take the marshmallow off.
Uh-huh.
And then you lift it with that bottom wafer. It's like 3 meals in one. It's so good.
That marshmallow is way too sticky and
it's so good.
Oh, God,
I'm telling you, if they give it to you next month, do it that way. It's a whole different experience.
I was very sad. I had to like pretend to be happy about this fucking chocolate log on my desk. Like,
that's so fucking
disgusting.
You had to pretend to be happy. If you're like, happy
HR
payday.
HR comes around, they're like, happy payday. I'm like, oh, thanks. And what the fuck is this shit?
You're still new to your company, so you like really can't. You're like,
chocolate log. And then some guy, I was sitting next to one guy and he had his chocolate there. And then he looked at it. He's like, is this mine or yours? And I immediately just said, it's yours. And he's like, why didn't you lie? I would have believed you. I'm like, because it's fucking chocolate log. It's disgusting. I don't want this. Take it away from me.
That's so funny. It probably was yours. Like, no, just please take it.
Please take it away from me. This is so nasty.
That actually, here's a little anecdote on Five Star. Do you want to know, I don't know if I've told this. Do you want to know how I got onto Five Star?
You crave temper?
No. Okay, so when I was community managing at my job long ago, it's 2017, there was a fire that happened on one of the accounts I was managing. It was like, I can't name
fire
and shame.
Or?
No, like, there was just drama happening. Like,
oh, okay,
a big
so
community,
figurative fire.
Yeah, not an actual fire. Yeah. My laptop exploded.
I never know. Thing's always updating one day.
It is. Oh my gosh, it's the worst. So something bad happened on one of the communities I was managing. There was a comment made. And then this comment led to, and it's on one of these communities that there are thousands of comments.
Oh,
okay?
No.
So I had to put out many fires in that account. And not just me, it was me and a few of my colleagues having to, like, this is how, to the extent of how talked of this community is that there were more than one of us sifting through comments and moderating stuff.
Hectic.
Okay. But the lady who managed the account, who was making us do this, was like, shit. Okay. Like, this is hectic. As a peace offering, she gave us all chocolates. Okay. And she gave me a 5-star. And at the time, I was like, this is the most pathetic way to, like, say sorry. It's giving me a what is a 5-star? Like, what is this no-name
what
brand
is this
chocolate?
Cheap-ass shit?
And even if you look at the 5-star wrapping, I'm like, what is this? Mm. Like, it looks fake. It's some new chocolate, whatever. Let me tell you, I ate it. I was like, you know what? Apology accepted. This is some good shit. And that is
basically, you've got a abusive relationship with Fastar because you first had it at a time of trauma.
It was at a time of that. Maybe that's why I love it so much. Like,
Stockholm
this is
chocolate
the
syndrome.
That's expectations right there, because I was like, this is going to be the worst chocolate ever. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. It is the
you
best
just lowered
chocolate.
Your expectations to the point where nothing could have disappointed
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And now it's the best chocolate in the world.
I'm sure your dentist loves that chocolate too. Yeah.
What dentist? Next question. Last question we've got from Sageville. He says, okay, so let me explain this to you guys. He says, here's my question. And it's literally a gif of
Steve Carroll, isn't it?
Steve Carroll from The Office. What is his character name? Michael.
I've never watched The Office.
You've never watched The Office?
Nope.
Neither British nor American?
Nope.
Oh my God. You should.
Who's Dwight? Give,
he's from The American Office.
Is he the dude with the weird glasses?
Yeah.
Okay.
You should watch. The thing is, The Office is like a slow burn. It starts off, you're like, this is not funny. But I don't know. The more you watch it, the more you start to get the humor. You're like, this is the best shit
I ever. Like the gifs. The gifs are good.
You have to watch The Office. Just try one season.
Okay.
Okay, we'll reconvene next week.
Yeah.
It is? I'm going to rewatch The Office too. So, yeah, Michael, the character from The Office, it's a gif of him saying, why are you the way that you are?
So does it mean the way that we are or the way that the podcast is?
The way, no, I think, why are you the way that you are? Tell us. Let's dissect Alessandro Barbosa.
I'm a millennial, so I'm the way I am because I have to impress my generation.
Oh, yeah?
We have to share everything on social media. You're also a millennial, so
I don't know how.
The course for this. Nicola's a millennial. That's strange.
Nicola's younger than me, which blows my mind
fucking
every
strange.
Time. I'm like, this guy.
He's
millennial. My default response to everyone who looks more or less the same age as me is that they're older than me. I'm like, no, they're definitely older. Then I learn that I'm older. I'm like, shit.
I'm like one of the oldest people, part of the grad program at the job I started. There are people there that are like 22. I'm like, 27.
when can I retire? Such a millennial. But you were going to varsity last year. Don't you find it funny that when you go back, you look at the first years, you're like,
I look like children.
I was never that little.
I know. It's always like that. What? It's like you see high school kids and you're like, I felt like such a badass in high school.
But yeah.
I look like a child.
Especially when you're matric, like, yeah, I'm an adult now.
Yeah,
and you look
I'm
at
fucking. I'm the boss.
You look
here,
at matrix, like they're so teeny tiny.
Yeah.
So immature. What is this?
It's super strange.
I mean,
it's,
I,
it's so weird looking back at that because it's...
I mean, I think you and I had similar experiences because you carried on studying for like many years.
So many
years. Whereas me, I initially studied IT out of high school, hated it, dropped out, worked a few years. Then I went back to studying. The thing is, going back to studying after having a few years of actual life experience...
Oh, it's hard.
It's like, get a class filled with 18-year-olds. I'm like, these people are so little. And it's like, lecturer's like, here's your assignment. And it's like, oh, man, work. I'm like, it's... One little assignment. Guys, this is your education. Take it seriously.
We used to have a guy in our class who looked like he was 40. And I think he was like late 30s. Yeah, just studying with first years. It was very peculiar.
Going back.
I mean, I respect people doing that because that mentally is hard, I think. But,
oh, God, yeah. But it is such an eye-opener. Like, shit. Those few years out in the real world really do change you. You get such a different perspective on life and stuff. But anyways.
Why are we the way you are?
Well, I don't know. How do you answer this question?
I don't know. I mean, there's like no context on what we are to the eyes of other people. Let's get fucking deep. Here.
What shaped you to get you to this point?
What shaped you?
What influenced you growing up?
I don't know. I didn't play Super Mario.
Hard drugs. You didn't play Super Mario?
I played Crash Bandicoot instead. I made a better choice.
You're a bad person. You're an anomaly though, because you're like one of the biggest Nintendo fanboys I know, but
it's all a newfound.
You only drank the Nintendo Kool-Aid like
5 years ago.
Was it 5 years ago?
Yeah, I played Ocarina of Time. Fuck yes.
You had no idea what Nintendo was.
Didn't even play
at all.
Hadn't played a Zelda.
Now I walk into your room. You've got
a Zelda encyclopedia.
You've got two Zelda encyclopedias sitting behind me. You've got all these amiibo, giant Zelda figurines. Number one Nintendo advocate in the world in South Africa.
Love Majora's Mask. I think it's one of the best games ever.
So why are you the way that you are?
I got two Link statues here.
You really do?
Yeah. Like,
she sucked.
Yeah. It's strange. I've still never played Super Mario World, something like that. I haven't finished A Link to the Past yet. Like all the classic.
I need to play the classics, Elders.
I've got them on this little good mini SNES sitting here.
You should play it when you're done with all your review games, which is...
Never playing it.
You're busy till the end of the year.
Yeah, busy.
You'll never catch up on anything.
Fuck, yeah, and then at the end of the year, then I'm just like this last December, I'm catching up on games from like 2 years ago. So.
That's the nature of gaming journalism though, because I remember as well, every time I got to finishing a game, I was like, finally, I'm free to play. Then Jeff's like, hey...
Yeah.
You just got a new review game. And I'm like, God damn it. I just wanted to play my own game.
It's so bad. I mean, it's a strangely fun way to do things, but it's also like...
It's hit or miss. Let's be honest. Because
people don't realize... Yeah, that's the thing. I think people don't realize like a lot of the time you're playing shit games and not being given the choice to play what you want is crap.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I just want to sit down and chill with Call of Duty today. But if I spend a whole evening with Call of Duty, then... Less time for Resident Evil or whatever, you know. So those are big things that you have to factor in.
Yeah. I mean, and you don't get to choose what to review. You could be the dude who wants to review... What's Darren reviewing now? It's that game we spoke about.
Wargroove.
Okay, so you'd be like, I just want to play Wargroove, man, but I've got to play Resident Evil. It sounds like a first world problem, but it's a legit...
Well, it's more of a problem when it's like, oh, I really want to be playing this game and you're playing something that's shit.
Yeah.
Like, fucking shit.
You have to force your way through.
My year got off to a bad start because it's just been a couple of shit games. And now Resident Evil finally, it's a good change of pace. Yeah.
She's like, I reviewed some Muppet game on the Vita years ago.
A Muppet game?
Like the Muppet movie game.
Like Kermit.
It was terrible. And that is legit one of those things. Like, I'm not a fussy gamer. Like, I'll play games. That was legit a chore. Like, oh my God.
I hate those games where it's just like, really don't want to play this. Yeah. Like, you actively are like, I really don't want to be doing this.
Which you have to. Yeah.
Games journalism, that's the way we are.
That's why we are the way that we are. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. I suppose...
Did we answer it? I don't know.
We touched on your Nintendo love, but
we didn't
touch on you. Tell us about your childhood.
Oh no, fuck off. We're done. I'm out of here. Thank you for the questions. Yeah. Only two of them, but feel free to send us questions whenever you like.
But you'll notice that those questions were not at all gaming related.
Exactly.
And we still answered them.
How interesting.
I know we answered one of them. I don't know about the second one.
Yeah,
but,
I know. I mean, it's touch and go on that one.
That's fine.
But yes, you can get in contact at Checkpoint Chat on Twitter, facebook.com/checkpointchat, and the emails. checkthechatpodcast@gmail.com.
Those emails.
That's the podcast.
If you like what you heard.
Yeah, like and subscribe.
Don't be shy to go give us a like and a subscribe and a rating and a review.
Whatever you're listening on, if there's a place to review it or leave a star rating, go be honest. Mm-hmm, give us some feedback. Critique us.
Some of that sweet
We're not feedback. Asking for 5 stars. We just want to know what you think.
I want 5 stars.
I mean, I want 5 stars, but...
No, you don't. You hate 5 stars.
Yeah, 5 stars, garbage.
5-star slabs, on the other hand.
5-star slabs, also garbage.
What? You said...
5-star with
you
Oreo.
You just said that you like 5-star with Oreo.
I mean, sorry, slabs with Oreo.
You see, you do love 5-star. Fuck don't that. Speak shit.
I'm out. Go do wedding shit.
I don't want to. No, it's not that I don't want to. It's just that the day's so busy...
You're doing wedding stuff and then going to a wedding.
Yeah, I'm doing wedding and then going to a wedding. It's just, it's a wedding overdose at the moment.
Too much wedding.
It's 8 weeks today, though.
Yes. We'll talk about the break we'll have to have then. But I that's know. Like 2 months
We're
away.
We're going
to
podcast in Madeira. Let's be
we'll
honest.
Podcast live from your wedding.
Wow.
Here's my speech for Maddie. Just hold Maddie, for an hour and a half.
Maddie has to say I do now. He's gone blank.
He's gone blank. I'm just going to...
Oh, no. We're going to cut the recording.
I'm going to live comment the entire wedding. It's going to be great.
Oh, wow.
Maddie's wearing a lovely black suit.
Oh, we should just stream the wedding. You can commentate. Like,
yeah, yes. That'll be good. Yeah, Twitch stream it.
Maddie's crying again. Oh, what a softie.
Tip if you want him to dance. Oh, yeah.
Tip if you want him to take his shirt off.
Yeah.
To rip his shirt. No, let's not do that.
Okay. Thank you for listening. This has been episode 39. We'll see you next week.
Yes.
Bye.
Goodbye. Okay,